I hope you helped commence our weeknight service by singing together hymn 611, to the tune Chester 455. Hymn 611. Lord, I freely would confess I am all unrighteousness, base and vile from head to feet, full of pride and self-conceit. When thy presence I enjoy, I can say my God is nigh, and with holy wonder tell, thou, dear Lord, doest all things well. But alas, how soon I stand at a distance, unconcerned, and the trifles of a day almost carry me away. Hymn 611, June Chester 455.
Thank you. Lord, help us to read from his holy word, the second book of Kings, chapter 5. The second book of the Kings, chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive? This man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy. Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash, and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and receive garments, and olive yards and vineyards, and sheep and oxen, and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper, as white as snow. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and teach us to pray. O Lord God Almighty, we plead thy mercy, thy grace, thy compassion once more. Oh, have mercy upon us. Have compassion, Lord. Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. And not thy mercies, large as 3, may not a sinner trust in thee. Help us to trust, Lord. 'Tis thy work. Oh, and we do ask that thou wouldst send thy Spirit down upon us this evening, that we may be among the true worshippers of God, who worship God in spirit and in truth. Lord, who bless to us thy word. Open it up to us. May we hear it in faith. O Lord, may we have the truth applied to our hearts with saving power. May thy people be favoured, Lord, to hear the word of the Lord this evening. in such a way as they would not forget. Oh, may thy people's cases be taken up by thee. Lord, thou knowest those here perhaps, like the man at the pool of Bethesda. He had seen so many healed. But Lord, the day came when they did heal him. He didn't have to go down into the water. That is, do it with the word of thy mouth. Oh Lord, do then speak to us. Speak, Lord, there's mercy in the sound. All power belongs to thee. Oh, do save us by thy grace, from ourselves, from our sins and the power of them, from the devil, Lord. What a deceiver he is, and we have deceitful hearts. Oh then, Lord, we pray, come and write thy truth in our hearts, the cure to all the deceit. Oh, we pray, Lord, may we be favoured as Nathanael was, to be an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Oh Lord, dwell in us, thou guileless one. Lord, we pray, dwell in us, Lord Jesus. Erect thy throne in our hearts. Dwell in our hearts by faith. Unworthy dwelling, we confess. Favour astonishing, divine. Oh Lord, confirm thy people. Thou knowest this little congregation this evening. Those that are thine, we trust it is each, but thou knowest. Lord, oh, some of us hope thou'st made known that we're thine. Lord, we need the confirmation of it. Lord, the gate is straight and the way is narrow. Oh Lord, we pray for those confirmations that we're in the narrow way, and if we're not, do put us in it. Oh Lord, we pray this evening for that anointing, the giving of that oil, the anointing with it, the putting of the oil in our vessels. Oh Lord, by nature we're all foolish. Oh Lord, and because of our transgressions we're afflicted. Lord, do grant us Christ as our wisdom. Then all our folly will be overcome. Oh Lord, do not leave us to our own folly. Lord, how foolish to think we can save ourselves from it. How foolish to think we can be anything other than foolish of ourselves. Oh, but thou art wisdom, Lord. Oh, help us to hear thy voice tonight. Oh, ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Lord, write thy law in our hearts and in our minds. Oh, impress it, Lord. Seal our hearts. And set us as seals upon thy heart and upon thy arm. For love is as strong as death. Lord, we pray. Let that love that moved thee to die be shed abroad in our heart this evening. Lord, that we may love thee with thine own love. Lord, do work that blessed faith. Holy Spirit, inspire that faith in our heart. May we by faith behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we've a lot, Lord. We've a lot of sin. Oh, we pray. Oh, Lord, wash away every spot. That we be without blemish, irreprovable, unblameable, white in thy sight, dressed in thy righteousness, washed in thy precious blood. Lord, we are hastening on. Time is swiftly passing. And Lord, thou hast said, I come quickly. Lord, time passes swiftly, and so that time does come quickly. Lord, prepare us for our end. Make us right and keep us right. Grant that faith which endureth, that faith which will stand that last great trial. We may be among those who die in faith. The moment after death, see thee as thou art and be with thee forever. O Lord, do by thy grace and love, by thy beauty, by the wonders of thy work and person, raise our souls above this earth to which we cleave. Quicken us according to thy word. For thou hast the purpose of thy people in this life. 'Tis here thou dost make thyself known to them. Oh, we ask, Lord, reveal thyself more and more unto us. We may know thee in the power of thy resurrection and the fellowship of thy sufferings. Be made conformable to thy death. O Lord, we pray for direction in life's path. May we be led of the Spirit, spiritually and providentially. O Lord, show us thy will and enable us to do it. For thy will, Lord, is the only right way, the only way of real profit, the only way of real happiness, the only way of real safety. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Bless the friends here at Maidstone. We thank thee for upholding them, maintaining them, and for every blessing under the word. Go on to be gracious to them. Help thy ministering servant that goes forth. Strengthen him in his bodily afflictions. And Lord, bless him in his soul. Make him a blessing to thy people. O Lord, bless thy servant the deacon here. Help him in his labours in that sphere thou hast placed him. O Lord, help the people by thy Spirit to supplicate thy throne of grace for the blessing on their own souls and on the souls of others. Do bring into this congregation and into the congregations wherever thy people gather, thine own elect. O Lord, we pray for that bringing in that thou hast promised, the ransomed of the Lord shall return to Zion. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and many nations shall flow unto it. Say, we will go up to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Oh, do, Lord, add believers to this church. Add grace to each one of us. We do beseech thee. And Lord, we've read this evening of a little maid being used by thee in thy work, in thy purposes. Oh Lord, would it please us, please thee to use us in thy work. All the glory shall be thine. But what a privilege to be made thy servant. Let us not be silent when we should speak. Let us not speak when we should be silent. Bless the families. We thank thee for the children, the young people. Appear for them and help them in these solemn times. Make a right and honourable way for them. Protect them from the evils. Put a godly fear in their heart and maintain it. And a love to thee and thy people and thy house. And Lord, provide them according to thy will with godly appointed husbands and wives, wherever it is thy will. And give grace, Lord, in the marriages, that they be to thy glory. Lord, save us each from our sin. Lord, we pray for grace to overcome the power of it, that we be better husbands and wives than we are. Lord, for thou art that glorious, that blessed bridegroom. There is none like thee, the chiefest among 10,000, but may thy beauty be upon us. Lord, could it please thee to pour out thy Spirit upon Zion? Oh, revive us. We languish. We are brought low. Lord, do appear. Turn us from our sins to thee. Thou said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Have mercy on our nation. Restrain the evil. Overrule in all the affairs of state. Prevent evil laws being passed. Remove the evil laws that are on the statutes. Lord, preserve the peace, the relative peace in which we live. Lord, those that come into this country from overseas, might it please thee, Lord, to so work in them. Oh, preserve this nation from the enemy within and the enemies without. And we pray for thy people Israel. Once again, as so often in their history, they are at war. Oh, do protect them, do deliver them. But oh, work in the hearts of thine elect among them. There may be a turning to the Lord, a taking away of the veil, a believing in, a worshipping of thy dear Son. Lord, oh, even work in them as thou didst that Jew Saul of Tarsus. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And Lord, we pray. Oh, may we be more and more in love with thee, and hate sin more and more. And have our affections set more on thee and on things above. Make us real pilgrims. Let not this world our rest appear. Forgive all our sin. and all the sin in our prayers. Remember afflicted ones, Lord. We remember her aged friend in hospital. Be with her, bless her, help her. Provide for her in these days of such weakness and infirmity. Lord, thou art the same God of whom Abraham did say, God will provide. We ask for thy name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let us continue by singing together hymn 723, hymn 723, tune Jerusalem Luminosa 675. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Not the righteous, sinners, Jesus came to call. Hymn 723, tune Jerusalem Luminosa 675.
Jesus.
in dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, the second book of Kings, chapter 5. Reading verses 13 and 14. The second book of the Kings, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. We have in this well-known account a wonderful example of the sovereignty of God's grace. A wonderful example of his workings. We read in the book of Ezekiel, don't we, of wheels within wheels. I remember as a boy, we used to have old Mr. Bentley come to South Morton sometimes, just once or twice, I think it was a year. And he often used to quote those words in Ezekiel, wheels within wheels. The purposes of God working within something else. His purpose in that little maid being carried away captive. The purpose in the judgment upon Israel of the Syrians fighting against them. And through that purpose, this little maid being found far from home. The purpose in Naaman being afflicted with leprosy. For that was the purpose by which God brought him to know his salvation. That was a purpose by which he was delivered from his worshipping of false gods to the worshipping of the one true and living God. And then in the way Naaman behaved. Oh, as the Holy Spirit has recorded this. Oh, how it shows so clearly how you and I behave left to ourselves. We think this and we think that and we think the other. But how God so clearly established his own thoughts. You will never get God to change his thoughts. You will never get God to change his way. What a mercy. What a mercy, my dear friend. God is immutable. He cannot change. Why? Because he is God. There's no need of any change. When he is God, the infinite God, the perfect God, there's no need of any change in his way. There's no need of any change in his word. And blessed be God, his love can't change. His eternal purposes can't change. His promises can't be altered. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. You see, we have in the account a wonderful example of how the Lord's people are made willing. In the day of the Lord's power, Psalm 110, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And how the Lord uses instruments in that. You know, in ourselves we are utterly weak. But the Lord's people are strengthened by him. Strengthened by him in such a way as he uses them in his work. Paul says, doesn't he, at the end of that long chapter, the 15th, the first epistle to the Corinthians, profound truths concerning the resurrection. Wherefore, brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Not in vain in the Lord. You say, what does it mean to be, for our work to be in the Lord? It must be according to his word. That's the first thing. The Lord will never work in a way which is contrary to his word. That's why we seek in the services of the Lord's house, and that's why we seek in our private lives to cleave by his help to the word of God, for we know that nothing will prosper otherwise. But then if our labour is in the Lord, it must be in dependence upon him. Paul says, my preaching, my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. David's words when he went against Goliath, they were the words of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he was in the exercise of those words. We know that because of the victory which the Lord gave him. And we know that because of the amazing thing the Lord enabled him to do. There was all Israel, including the king, that God had given them in his anger. And they were quaking in their shoes. None of them dared go out and fight against Goliath. But the young shepherd lad, with only a sling, but that was just the instrument. It wasn't only a sling he had. He had faith in his heart. He had God with him. That's the labour that is in the Lord. God with us. Well then, the Lord's, the day of his power in Naaman's case, wherein he was made willing to do what the Lord's servant Elisha had told him to do. And the day of the Lord's power wherein he was healed of his leprosy. The Lord used his servants. So we read here, and his servants came near. They were sent by the Lord. You see, we need the power of the Lord, the word of the Lord, to come near to us, don't we? I said recently, I was speaking from that word where it says the shout of a king is among them. And I said, we do not need to speak the word with loudness for there to be a shout in it. Oh, how loud is the word of the Lord when it is accompanied with the power of God, though it may be only with a whisper. Elijah, he heard in the still small voice, but it was so loud. Not physically loud. Do you know what it is for the word of the Lord to come near to you? You may have opened the Bible, and the Lord has so directed it that you opened on a certain page and you looked, the first verse you looked on, and the word came near to you. It may have been in the preaching of the word, it may have been in the quoting of a word of scripture by someone else. It may have been the Holy Spirit speaking the word into your heart and into your mind. And his servants came near. And the Lord came with them. That's evident. Haggai speaks of himself, doesn't he, as being the Lord's servant in the Lord's message. And what was it? I am with thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord was with Naaman. And that is evident from what transpired. And his servants came near and spake unto him. You see, in this coming near of the servants, I see the coming near of the Lord. Do you know what it is to have the Lord come near to you? Oh, what love and what compassion and what pity. That infinite God sent his co-equal and co-eternal Son and formed for him that sacred holy humanity. And in that way, in such an express, manifest way, God came near unto his people. His name, Emmanuel, you know what it means. Do you know what it means by experience? God with us. What moved him to come? Love. Was nothing in us to merit esteem or give the Creator delight. If he's come near to you, my dear friend, it's the most tremendous stoop he could ever make. Have you felt it? But the effect of it, that's how you know it's the Lord that's come near. We get tried, don't we, about the words we hope the Lord has spoken to us. Wonder whether it was him that spoke them. Well, what is the proof that he spoke them? The power that accompanied it. If the devil had spoken them, you wouldn't have been brought to the feet of Jesus by the devil speaking those words. Your heart wouldn't have been softened. You wouldn't have been graciously affected in the way Naaman was here to bow before Almighty God as he did. His servants came near. And you see, look at the condition he was in when he came, when they came near. A rebel. Saying, I thought the prophet would do this. You see, he wasn't speaking against Elisha. He was speaking against God. Because Elisha was only the Lord's servant. When you rebel against what the Lord's servants preach, you're not rebelling against the Lord's servants. You're rebelling against the Lord. But if you're one of those whom he loves with an everlasting love, he loves you even when you're rebelling against him. That word in the psalm speaking of Christ, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. If the Lord didn't draw near to rebels, he wouldn't have any people. Oh, the grace of Almighty God. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul. How do you know it? That was grace. When he drew near to you in your rebellious condition. And he didn't beat you into submission to his will with a rod, did he? The rod was the leprosy. That was sent upon Naaman in chastisement for his sin. But God had a wonderful purpose in it. As we've already said, that leprosy used to bring him to know the salvation of Almighty God. His servants came near and spake unto him. It is the word of the Lord that brings rebels to submission. The Lord Jesus, he has only to speak a word, and it is done. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Have you been in a situation where either with regard to your soul's salvation or with regard to your life's pathway, you've been in rebellion against him. You've said, not this way. Perhaps you've come into the house of God this evening like that. Oh, may the Lord draw near to you and with his word tonight slay all that rebellion. Why cannot he do it with a rod? Because a rod won't deal with sin. To deal with sin, God had to lay his rod, yea, his sword of divine justice, had to pierce his dear son. That was how God saved his people from their sins. The Lord in the day of his anger did lay our sins on the Lamb and he took them away. Now you see, all he has to do is speak, and with his word convey the saving power of his sin-atoning death. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But is it left to the people as to whether they believe or not? No. No. The hymn writer paraphrases the gospel. In respect to this believing, God says, "Thou shalt in me believe." Peter said of that man in the temple who was restored, so that he that had never walked before leapt. The faith that is by Jesus Christ hath made this man perfectly whole. And his servants came near and spake unto him. If the Lord is yours, and his set time has come for the blessing, the deliverance of you, your soul, and in your life circumstances, God will in this matter focus everything on you. It's so personal, isn't it? My soul, my sins, where shall I spend eternity? My life, my path, the course I take, my place in my family, in society, in the church of God, my place in the purposes of God. Ye shall be gathered one by one, O house of Israel. He knows his people individually. As a good shepherd, he is the good shepherd. As a good shepherd naturally knows his flock. He knows every one of them. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. My Father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Human reason never saved anyone. But the things of God are not unreasonable. You see, we could say this and it would be true. It's only the things of God that are reasonable. You think how unreasonable the things of fallen men are. Is it reasonable to think that you know better than God? Is it reasonable to think any of those lies that the devil promotes? Was it reasonable what the devil in the form of the serpent came and said to Eve, and then to Adam through Eve. No, it was completely unreasonable. God says to his guilty, filthy, perishing people, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be red, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though they be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, whiter than snow. And so the Lord sent these men to Naaman and caused him to discern the truth of what they were saying to him. And you know, that's how Christ himself ministered when he was here on earth. You find it again and again, don't you? How he was using natural illustrations and using those things to teach the deeper spiritual things. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If the Son ask his Father for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If he ask for a piece of bread, will he give him a stone? So if you ask God for that which is good, he will give you that which is good, not that which is evil. And he's saying to Naaman, and you see he's finding out the heart and the mind of Naaman. Do you know what it is that God, for God to speak to you, either directly or through the ministry? He brings home to you what you were trying to hide, as it were, and perhaps you didn't even realize it was there. Have you been thankful, my dear friend, for the Lord to show you where you were wrong in what you were thinking? Where were you wrong? You thought you'd got to do some great thing. What is the reasoning behind what these men said to Naaman? If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Though Naaman was a leper, he still had that inherent thought of his own greatness. He still had that legal bond, didn't he? And if there had been some legal requirement put before him to do some great thing, oh yes, I would do that. But when it is so contrary to what he had thought, no, that's not going to work. I'm not a barn on Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, greater than all the rivers of Israel. If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Leprosy was such an unclean disease. It represents the disease that all of us in this chapel have got this evening, the disease of sin. biblical leprosy was incurable except by the almighty hand of God. Sin is incurable. You never get cured of your sin in the way you think. You never get cured of your sin by some great thing that you do. As we've already said this evening, the only cure of sin is that great thing which Christ did. And the greatness of that is immeasurable. The Son of God and man has died. To the poor sinner who says, I will do some great thing, God says, it's done. The great thing is done. The thing that only God's dear Son in our nature could do. The matter is so great. The sin is against God. It is immeasurable. They are innumerable sins. Blood must be shed. But such blood as is sufficient to put away that sin, to cure that leprosy. So the Son of God takes the nature of man. That he, the Son of God, should have blood to shed. Being man, he can die in man's place. Being God, by his death, he can redeem man from his death. By his resurrection, showing his victory, by his death over sin. And much rather when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. No, Naaman, the rivers of Damascus are not greater than these waters. One only sweet fountain of blood that was spilt can loosen the mountain of high crying guilt. No, poor sinner, this evening, you might shed buckets of tears, but it wouldn't put away one sin. You might do many so-called good works, but none of them in themselves are good in God's sight. In a gospel sense, then, we desire to speak of this word. How much rather when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. Almighty God, throughout his word, he bids filthy, guilty sinners wash and be clean. One only place, the precious fountain. In that day, saith the Lord, shall there be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. What does the Lord work in the hearts of his people so that they do wash and are clean? He gives them to believe the record that he has given of his Son. And in that record that he hath given of his Son, in that wondrous truth of how Christ lived and died and rose again and ascended into heaven and makes intercession, the wondrous truth of how that precious blood cleanses from all sin, what does the Lord bid his people do? What did this serpent-bitten Israelite have to do? He had to look, not do some great thing. that poor Israelite dying from that serpent bite, doing some great things beyond him. I like to think of an Israelite gasping for his last breath. The disease, the venom has so weakened him, he's so affected every organ in his body, he can't move a thing. But God gave him strength to move his eyes and set them upon that brazen serpent. And as many as looked, lived. God, in the person of his Son, says, come unto me. Come unto me. John 6, he said, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. By nature we're like Naaman. I thought, my dear friend, do you know what it is to be astounded? Because the gospel is so much greater and therefore so much simpler than you ever thought. You thought you got to overcome your sin yourself. You thought you got to do some great thing. Seneca says, doesn't he, the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. You thought you had got to repent. But God says, his Son is exalted to give it, to give repentance and remission of sins. You thought you had got to believe. But the gospel says Jesus is the author and the finisher of his people's faith. You thought you got to pray so well to get such an answer. But no, the Lord says, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise. Could my zeal no respite now? Poor sinner tonight who feels to have no zeal but you're lost. You're perishing. You're guilty. You're ruined. Wash and be clean. How did Naaman have to go down into the river Jordan? He had to go down as a leper without doing one thing. The one thing which he did, he was brought by the Lord to do. What was it? To believe and to obey the call of the gospel. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. What is so significant about Jordan? Firstly, it's in the land that God had given Israel. Secondly, it was the river that Christ himself was going to be baptized in. Suffer it to be so now, he said, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. When Jesus was immersed beneath the river, the waters of Jordan, what was he setting forth? His sufferings, his sin atoning death, his burial, And what was he setting forth when he came forth up out of the water? His resurrection. And what happened when he was lifted up by John Baptist and they came up out of the water? The Spirit of the Lord descended upon him like a dove, and the voice of the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus bids every believer be baptized in his name, because every believer draws all their life, their spiritual life, from the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a person may think, "Oh, I couldn't go before the church and give a testimony." You think it a great thing? It is a solemn thing. It is a great thing to be brought to, but it isn't a great thing that you have to do. If your venture is of the Lord, you will have to do nothing. The Lord will do it all for you. I know it's in a different context, but the truth is the same. It should be given thee in that hour what you should speak. And then the profession, "Oh, I couldn't walk it out." No, you couldn't on your own. When Naaman went down into the river, what was set forth, we're not saying that he had a clear view of it, but what was set forth was this: buried with Christ in baptism. Self crucified with him. Oh, the blessing of it. Do you have a self that you long to have crucified? Do you say with Rutherford, "Oh, that I'd not of myself, but Christ"? His word is this, poor sinner here: believe on me and banish fear. Cease from your own works, bad or good, and wash your garments in my blood. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times, the number of perfection, 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The believer is blessed with this cleansing. That moment Christ is revealed to their soul, to the eye of faith, they receive this cleansing. The sovereign act of the Holy Spirit in their heart. They receive the washing in the precious blood. They receive the clothing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They have done nothing toward it. "It is finished," said the Lord. In his dying minute, Holy Ghost repeats in it. "He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live."
But before I close, I want to just very briefly look at this word in connection with everything in a child of God's life. You see, this matter of being made obedient to the word of the Lord, to His way, His commandments, it involves everything in our life. And you see, though it is so painful and crucifying to our flesh, it is good when we are convinced that because we are lepers, because we are sinners, we have not the ability or the wisdom to know and to do what is right. Because we are sinners, we can't handle situations rightly. Because we're sinners, we can't bear burdens rightly. We can't speak rightly. We can't walk rightly. Now, there may be one here this evening. And what is the word in connection with this? How much rather when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. That great matter, have you taken it to the Lord in prayer? Has the Lord brought you to come to Him with nothing in your hand concerning that matter? Almighty God, Thou knowest Thy will concerning me in this matter. And only Thy will be for any good to me. Show me Thy will, O Lord. Show me Thy way. Lord, this enemy that Thou hast suffered to rise up against me, we mention in prayer David going against Goliath. Saul had an altogether different view of it to David, didn't he? David saw the magnitude of the matter in a way that Saul didn't. Do you see the magnitude of this matter in your life this evening? So that no great thing which you do can help in the matter. The thing is so great that only the infinite God can deal with it. And that's how David went against Goliath. Not with the armor that Saul tried to clothe him with. I cannot go with this. I've not proved it. Has God never heard your prayer before? You say, I don't know that He has. Well, if that is the case, what does His word say, and what does His word so abundantly demonstrate that He hears prayer? All the things that the Lord's people have had done for them by God in answer to prayer. But you see, the reason why we need to be made willing to it is this.
because it is so humbling. I was thinking of that word in Peter, First Epistle chapter 5. Before Peter exhorts to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us, what does he say? Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. And when he exalts you in due season, the exaltation will be this: God has done it for you. And that's the exaltation. You cannot have a greater exaltation than God showing that he has saved you. The exaltation of the saints in heaven will be this: God has brought me here. Christ has brought me here. And I am here through his finished work alone. I am clothed in his glorious righteousness. I am washed in his precious blood. Now take that down to whatever it is in your life's pathway. That's the exhortation. You know, the Lord's people, when they look back on their life, they look on what they've done with shame. But they have some other things to look back on. And they don't look back on those with shame. What are those other things? The things that God has done for them. How much rather, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean, the simplicity that is in Christ. He says, ask, and it shall be given thee. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Plead my precious blood. Well, may the Lord bless these few thoughts and cleanse away everything that is impure in his sight. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 968, to the tune of St. Bees 494. The text over the hymn is "Lovest thou me," and that word of the Lord's, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Hark, my soul, it is the Lord, 'tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks, and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Hymn 968, tune St. Bees 494.
Yeah.
for thy word, for the simplicity that is in Christ. Oh, do grant thy blessing upon it, and do cause it to remain with us, and may we all wash and be clean. And do watch over and keep us as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.